Hello, everybody. We're here today to talk to Dr. Gabby Espinoza, our new Director of Engineering here at Concordia University, as part of our Advancing Women in Leadership podcast that we've been doing. Did a few last spring, and we've been meeting more people this fall. I'm Julie Milberg. I'm the Chair of the Computer Science and Mathematics Department here at Concordia.
And I'm Amy Bramston. I work in the Advancement Office here at Concordia.
And so we're here to share our new member here. So, Gabby, tell us a little bit about your role here at Concordia, when you came on board here, and kind of what you've been up to since you've been here.
Thanks, Julie. Thanks, Amy. So, like you said, I am the new Director of Engineering, and it's a fun job. I've told people that I am always doing stuff, and I'm never bored with what I do here. What's really special about this position is that we have not had engineering as a program here at CUI, and so I have the honor and privilege to be able to start that here, and it's just a lot of excitement and fun. Yes, there's many other things, you know, logistical aspects of it, but where it's really just truly fun is getting to interact with the students who are just so excited to see that engineering is being offered now.
And you've built up a pretty awesome lab. I know that when I walk by it, it seems like a lot of play toys in there, but that's actually what you get to do for part of your job, right?
It is, yeah. People think that I'm just hiding out and playing with things, but it's work, guys. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. I tell my students, and they notice it, that the lab changes pretty much every day.
And you've only been here since what, the summertime, right?
So since the summer, yeah, mid-July. So it's been a hectic summer, and you know, we keep moving along and bringing in new things and trying out new ideas even as the semester goes along.
And how many new engineering students did you welcome this year?
We have 9.
It's a great
start. Should I say victims? No. No, enthusiastic.
Future engineers.
You know, trailblazers. That's what I call them.
That's awesome.
And what's the mix, just curious, between men and women in the class, the students?
So let's see. My class of 9 has 3 women.
Okay.
So not bad at all.
As you and I spoke at one time, and you had mentioned that you were one of the only engineers in a lot of the classes that you took.
Yes. When I was an undergraduate, I was an applied physics major, and it was a little bit of a cultural shock because I came from an all-girls high school to being, in many cases, the only woman in the class. So that was different.
Interesting. That's awesome. Well, we're excited to have you here.
So good. So good. Okay, I'm going to ask you kind of a professional question here. So tell us what your preferred leadership style is, or what your experiences have been that have kind of helped you advance in your leadership walk.
So I can tell you what my leadership style is not.
Okay.
And so I did not like for myself being micromanaged, and I don't like to micromanage others. I think that is something that lets people, if you don't micromanage them, it allows them to really feel more like they are a partner in the project and not just following orders and feeling like, you know, you're just watching them over their shoulders or anything like that. I think it conveys a sense of trust as well. And
absolutely.
I think it's an important way to foster relationships. And so I like to be able to give the other people that I'm working with a sense of ownership that I'm a part of this. This reflects on me. I'm not just an underling under, you know, someone who's this very distant person. I like my interactions with people to be meaningful and personal, as opposed to, you know, did you, you know, clock in at a certain time or something like that? That's not my style. And I think in the end, we're more productive and we do better when we get to have those kinds of relationships.
it's almost more confidence building too, don't you
think? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think it does.
So as you talk about, you have this inaugural set of students here. You have 9 students. You've been working, building up a lab and things. What goals or visions do you have for the engineering department, for yourself here in this role, and for us as a university, I guess, as well?
I have so many things. It's all a matter of reining them in a little bit and making sure that it's all very doable. And I think a lot of it is. And, you know, it's all going to be in God's time as we roll this out. So I have gotten a really good sense of what the students are looking for in terms of their engineering education. And that's what we're able to look at in great detail here because it's a smaller liberal arts college. And so I can know that I have students that are really interested in aerospace engineering, and others that are interested in maybe going to medical school after this. And so I can really tailor the whole experience to that. And so, you know, a big goal that I have is to match my students up with very meaningful summer or even semester-based experiences doing stuff that's very specific to their interests, doing internships or research and things of that sort. And so I am very actively looking to do that. One example that I'm currently trying to figure out is for the students who are particularly interested in the automotive industry, there is a undergraduate level design competition where you actually build a race car.
Oh.
And so it involves fundraising and, you know, have a mock customer and design criteria. And then they actually get to compete and race the car against other schools. I would love to see our students doing that.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to switch gears just a little bit. So tell us a little bit personally. How can we get to know you a little better? Maybe tell us a few things that we don't know about you, or maybe do you have a favorite hobby or hidden talent? Some things to get to know you, Miss Gabby.
So, I mean, there are a number of things that I could share. One of them that I guess comes to mind is, so I grew up in New York City, and I mentioned, you know, that I went to an all-girls Catholic high school, and we actually were in the same building as the Archdiocese offices. And I know we're in a Lutheran university, so I'm sorry, but yeah, I did go to Catholic school, but one of the things that we got to do was have our graduation at St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Oh, that's
really nice. And I was in marching band and I played clarinet. So maybe this is the hidden talent part of it. And so I used to march in the St. Patrick's Day parade. Just most of what I did extracurricular wise in high school was marching band. So if I had had a Fitbit then, my steps would have been great.
As a New Yorker, I can appreciate the cathedral and the marching band. That's awesome. So fun.
Do you still play your clarinet?
I do not have a clarinet. I do have an ocarina, though, and so I sometimes play
that. Tell us what that is. I'm not sure I know what that is.
Think of it as a short, fat flute.
I thought you were saying Macarena and I'm going to dance, but.
Dancing is not one of my hidden talents. No, you don't want to see that.
That's funny. I know you have some kids. You want to tell everyone what the ages of your kids are and who you're taking care of at home and your other vocations there?
Sure. So I'll include my husband because I do take care of him. So my husband, Pastor AJ Espinosa, he and I have been married now for 13 years, I think it's been. Yeah, 13. We have three kids. Ellie is 5, Natalie is almost 3, and James was actually joining us a little bit in the office earlier, and he's 6 months old.
Awesome. So they're busy at home and they're growing.
Yes.
Growing quickly.
So busy. And they're all out there. Any of them in preschool yet? So is Ellie in school?
They are all in grandma school. They stay with grandma for right now. But yes, Ellie will be the first to, you know, spread her wings. And yes, so we'll have to figure that out.
Awesome. So it's kind of an interesting question after saying you have three small kids at home, but do you have a favorite book that you like to read? And why? I'm not sure how much downtime you have or if that's multitasking that you do, but.
Yeah, well, back in the day when I used to read more. for a long time, my favorite book has been 1984 by George Orwell.
Ooh, that's so interesting. Why?
The dystopian genre. And it's really interesting because I read that in high school for the first time, and I was just horrified with what that sort of society could look like. And I had a custom of, you know, going home after school and talking to my mom while she was, you know, doing whatever she was trying to get done. And I would just tell her about the stuff that I learned. And so I was telling her about this book, and she looked back at me and she said, "That sounds just like Nicaragua," which is where we're from. My family immigrated from Nicaragua, and in the 1980s, it was the political turmoil there was really intense, and in many ways 1984-esque, without maybe the technology, but yeah, I mean, it was very much a fascinating read because I could talk to my parents and hear about kind of the similarities and the differences. And that actually kind of got me interested in this path of just studying the history a little bit more. And so it was a really interesting read and something that I did not realize was actually kind of pretty close to my family.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Awesome. That's a great book.
We have a book club here at Concordia that's run through our library too. So if you ever have time, in the future.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun. There are some great books too.
I'm looking forward to that. I would love to read more books.
I know. When you have time.
Yeah.
When the kids are older. Okay. So tell us a little bit about maybe a favorite Bible verse or something that maybe is a kind of an inspiration to you.
Sure. Yeah. So there are a couple of verses that stand out in my head. There was a set of three that my mom and I would always say together on my way to school every single day. So there's those three. But the one that I wanted to share with you guys today is a little bit more of what I aspire to. And this verse was shared with me when I turned 15. So in Latin America, instead of celebrating a sweet 16, you have what's called a quinceañera. Mm-hmm. And so for my quinceañera, we invited our pastor, and the verse that stood out, and I just wrote it down here because I know it better in Spanish than in English, but it's Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. And it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go."
Oh, in Espanol, por favor.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. No, then I'd have to look that up in Spanish to get all of the words right, too. So we'll save that for the next one.
The next podcast.
Yeah.
That's
the next one will be all in Spanish.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. But no, that one is really, I always think about it because I tend to be someone who, if there's not a clear path ahead, I might be frightened or dismayed. Or I think the words that we probably are more familiar with in our society is anxious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have to remind myself that I shouldn't be, because God is with me.
If you would give your younger self some advice, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Depends on the stage of life. I think when I was really young, maybe before high school, and even to a certain extent also in high school, I was, and I still am, a bit of a perfectionist. And I spent a lot of time not interacting as much with friends and family because I was very focused on work. And a lot of good came from that. I mean, there were many rewards to being a hard worker, but at the same time, I think it's important, you know, to think of, you know, my younger self as like, okay, well, do you really need the extra, you know, hour here? Okay, you got 100%. You don't need the extra credit. Maybe go spend time with your siblings. Mm-hmm. Maybe go, you know, have a conversation with your dad. I think that was something that I did not realize I was missing out on as much as I did. And so I would give that nudge to myself. And I'm glad that I get to, you know, I still have them in my life and they're still around. And so I get to have those conversations and things now that I kind of realize the value of it more.
So kind of a follow-up to that is work-life balance. I think as women, we have our jobs, our careers here, and then we go home and we have another job and career and other people who answer to, you know, who we have to answer to, things like that. So how do you make that all work reasonably well? I mean, nobody can do it perfectly, but reasonably well. And COVID was such a different thing for all of us. Like, was there anything specifically pre-COVID that was a good kind of test for you to say, okay, this is what I need to do?
Yeah, so I think there was a long time that I knew that I wanted to have kids, but it was a very distant desire. And so I didn't feel like I needed to do very much to achieve work-life balance. Mm-hmm. But as I got to an age where I felt like, well, maybe not now, but in the next couple of years, I need to think about this now. And that was about when I started my PhD program. And so I think one of the things that helped me not necessarily achieve, but at least get closer to the work-life balance that I prefer is that I wanted to be upfront with the people that I worked with. So as I was looking for a lab to join to do my research and my dissertation, I met with professors and I just asked them, you know, I'm thinking about starting a family in the next couple of years. Is that going to be a problem working in this lab? How can we possibly accommodate something like that? And I think a lot of people were a little bit surprised that I was so upfront about it. And
that's a great question. I would suspect you got a bunch of different answers to that question.
Well, you know, mm-hmm. The people that were kind of in the running for that, they all had very positive responses. And I was kind of surprised about that, at how flexible they were willing to be and how they appreciated the question. But many of them said, we've never had that question asked. Mm. And I would encourage women to ask the questions and to, you know, be clear in what you want and what you need. When I did my postdoc, it was kind of funny because when I got the job, I had just recently found out that I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I shared that with them and said, you know, I know legally it's not supposed to be a matter, you know, that would make or break a job, but I also don't want to be somewhere where it's not going to be something that will be
supported.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Sure. Supported is a great word. And so if I were to get a very negative response, well, I probably don't want to work there either.
Exactly.
You want to know that up front too.
Yes, absolutely. Exactly. And so I think just having that sort of honesty and just being very clear with what you want and what you need is very important for achieving that work-life balance. And, you know, I can, you know, continue to do that and try to be better at it. And I think other women, again, should, you know, be bold and ask.
That's great advice. Yeah. That's great advice. Definitely.
Awesome. Is there any other secrets or things that you would like the Concordia community to know about you as you're getting to know people here on campus, or as they're getting to know you?
Sure. So I can share that in high school I kind of went through a goth phase.
Ooh.
That's probably not something that people would expect.
We might have to see pictures.
We might have to see pictures.
Yes, we really might. We really might. Yeah. I used to wear, you know, my uniform with combat boots.
That's amazing.
How did that go over at the Catholic high school?
You know, I was able to go under the radar because
didn't break dress code.
I didn't break dress code, and there were much more other controversial people that were bigger fish to fry.
That's a great secret. I mean, I would absolutely love to see a picture.
Yes, we won't share with anybody. We won't post it on the internet.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time out of your day and your busy week to talk with us and just share some fun things about you and to let us get to know you a little bit and let our Concordia community know about you as well. We've enjoyed having you, Gabby.
Thank you both. It was super fun.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
This has been Concordia University Irvine's Advancing Women Leadership Podcast. Thanks for listening and have a blessed day.